Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll direct your attention to the gospel lesson for today, Luke chapter 2. You want to keep that handy. I'll be referring to it a number of times. But especially verse 49, and Jesus' words, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" I was driving to a church outing with another young family in my car, and we chanced to drive by their home. "That's where I live," shouted the youngest boy, smashing his finger against the window. "That's my house." And it struck me how often we associate our homes with life. We do not hesitate to answer the question, "Where do you live?" Even though we're alive, wherever it is that we might happen to be at that moment, we think of our homes as the source, the center, the foundation of life. That's where I live. In today's text, Jesus, a young boy, smashes his finger against the window and says, "That's where I live. That's my Father's house." Let's take a few moments to examine what that might mean for our lives. So look with me, verse 49, this is where he must be. Notice the necessity in Jesus' mind. This is where he must be. That's because that's where he finds life. He must be where there is life. And Jesus is directing his parents to recognize that. This is where I must be. Now, most translations translate the idiom, "in my Father's house," but literally it doesn't say that. The Greek actually says, "among the things of my Father." Now, it's probably an idiom of the day, and it's fair to translate it as "my Father's house," but I think you should also recognize the import of the actual words, "among the things of my Father." In other words, he's not necessarily speaking about a specific location. He's talking about the things that the Father owns, the things the Father possesses, and the things the Father gives. Now, it's pretty simple for us to decipher that. The gifts that God gives to his world, the world he created, is the Word of God. That is, of course, incarnate Jesus himself. He expects his parents to find him there. He's surprised. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I must be among the things or in the house of my Father, where there is life?" Please also note in verse 46 which day the parents of Jesus found him. Pretty significant. On the third day. That should make some bells go off in your head. On the third day, he was found. The number three is pretty significant in the scripture, of course, quite often refers to the Trinity, but I think more often it refers to the day of resurrection. And if you search through the scriptures, you will find that cardinal word, the third, often refers to a death and resurrection experience. Say, for example, how long was Jonah in the belly of the fish? 3 days. On the third day, he was found. So in this experience, Jesus was dead, so to speak, to his parents. And on the third day, he was raised to life to them. And where did that happen? In the house, among the things of his Father. That's where life is. And that's what's trying to be conveyed to us this morning. That among the things of the Father, the things the Father gives to the world, in his house, that's where we find life. If Jesus must be among those things, where must we be? We also must be among the things of the Father if we are to have life. Jesus and his word, his sacraments, are those things which God has given into the world in order that his people might live. In these things, God has promised you life. There's a problem, however. There are other houses where we too often prefer to live, not in our Father's house, but in houses of our own making, houses that we construct. And I'm not just talking about houses of brick or of wood. What is it that gives you life? Or better, what is it that you think gives you life? Or what if I ask you this question, which I often ask my catechism students, what can't you live without? Now think in terms of 7th and 8th graders, or put yourself back when you were a 7th and 8th grader and ask that. You could probably imagine some of the things that they might say. Oh, I just can't live without my phone. I just can't live without the Wii. I just can't live without my friends. I can't live without football. That's primarily a boy one. I can't live without hunting. I can't live without so many things. And what are we saying? Are those the things that give us life? I can't live without them. Among those things is where I find life. Now, what about you? Don't be inhibited because you're in this place. I'm not expecting you to call out something. But in your own mind, what kind of houses have you constructed where you think you find life? What can't you live without? Maybe your house, maybe your car, maybe your spouse, maybe your job. I just can't live without it. We may not think that we are often setting those things over against the life that God gives to us, but in reality, that's exactly what's happening. Here is where I find life. On the job. In my wife, or my husband, and my kids. They are what is most important to me. And we turn the things of this world into our home. That's where I live. That's where I live. In my home. My hot tub. My flat screen TV. Most often we turn the things of this world not to our Father's things in order to find life. That's the reality of sin. Most often we turn to things of this world and not to my Father's things to find life. That's my sin. And so I am hit between the eyes by the words of Jesus in today's text. This is where I must be in order to live, because the reality of those words are that there is nothing in this world that can bring us life. As much as we think that we're really alive when we're sitting in front of the TV or when we're counting all of the things that we have stuffed into our storage bins, we're really not alive there. And there is no life in them. And the truth is that it is sin to seek life in anything other than the Word of God and in Jesus. For if I think I find life in the abundance of my possessions, in the things of this world, I am certain I'm on the certain path to death. I am. They will all rust. They will all be moth-eaten. They will all pass away. And if that's where I found my life, I will be like them. This much is certain. There is only one word, one thing that brings life. That's the Father's house. The things of the Father. Now, have you ever been locked out of your home? Anybody ever locked themselves out of their house? If you don't want to admit it, you're embarrassed. You know, it's embarrassing. It's frustrating. It's angry. It makes you angry. You know, oh, how could I be so stupid, sort of a thing. Because you think of your house as a place of life. This is where I live. How could I lock myself out? This is where I live. That's what sin does to us, in a manner of speaking. Sin locks us out of the house of my Father. It is our house because God has claimed it and created it for us, but by my sin I lock myself out. Can't get in. There's life. But sin prevents the life that God intended for me. And that's precisely why Jesus came. Here's where the analogy fails. Not to unlock the door and usher us in, but to carry us in. To carry us in to the Father's house. We are saved because Jesus is that life. And he comes into this world to bring the things of the Father into this world. It's not like he stands up there and says, "Why don't you get y'all come up?" He comes into this world and he brings the things of the Father's house into our world, into our lives. Because he is that very living Word of God, the life-giving Word of God. He is himself the things of the Father. And he is the life that inhabits his Father's house. Now, we have all just witnessed the coming of that life into this world, celebrated at Christmas. We may not often think of it that way, but this is what happened. This is another picture of Christmas. This is a world of death, a deadly and deathly place. And Jesus comes into this world as a tiny little baby to bring life, to carry us to his Father's house. So you've witnessed that at Christmas, and through your reading of the Scriptures, you have witnessed the life of his holy obedience to his Father. That's life. That's real life. Because the Scripture says he didn't sin. So there's real life portrayed before us. Not the kind of life that I live or that you live, but real life without sin. And then we witnessed the life of his service to others, and that he was constantly giving of himself. It's all about me and what I can get gathered up before I die, but service to others. This is life. We see it in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. So he brings his Father's house into this world to make it manifest so we can see what it's like, and then he acts to bring us into that house. And that's what happens in his holy life, his death, and his resurrection. Locked out by sin, Jesus carries us in to the Father's house. And that's what it means to be forgiven. And that's what you are. Forgiven. Now, here, in this place, this moment, as I speak the Word of God to you, you receive the forgiveness that Jesus created for you on the cross. It is with great joy that I can announce to you that you are forgiven for all of those times that you construct another house for you to live in, whatever it may have been. You are forgiven. That is a powerful word. And God, by the power of his living word, Jesus, even as I speak it now, carries you into the Father's house. To live in the Father's house. And that's where you are. Among the things of your Father. Jesus has done that for you. You see, today in today's culture, it's often popular to talk about searching for meaning in life, or searching for life, or searching for purpose, or something like that. And often it seems like we're the ones who are out there searching. And even Christians, and we'll say other confessions, hopefully not Lutherans, but Lutherans sometimes get drug into it too. I'm searching for Jesus. And I had to scratch my head a little bit. Who's searching for whom? It's not like we don't know where he is. He already tells us. In this text, he tells us where he is. Don't you know I must be among the things of my Father? Don't you know that I am in the very Word of God? That's where you find Jesus. It's not as if, we were talking Bible study this morning, it's not as if we somehow say, "Wait, no, I think this is what God wants me to do. I got to figure it out." As if somehow I create the Word of God. No, he promises, I must be among the things of my Father. I am in his Word. That's where you'll find me. I promise to be there. You don't have to search here and there. You don't have to go looking around. You don't have to go on a long trek. You don't have to be in some introspection. I promise you, if you want to find me, I'm in the Word and in the sacraments. I'll be there every time to deliver to you this promise of life and forgiveness. Now, that's why you come to this place. It's not that this is just the Father's house, this building. But you do know that this is the place where the Father's things can be found. The Word and the Sacrament. You didn't come here today because you're going to hear some inspired preacher preach a great sermon to you. You came here today because you wanted to hear the Word of God. Because you believe that in that Word of God there is forgiveness and life. And you know that in that Word of God you will be transferred out of this deadly and deathly world once again by the proclamation of forgiveness into the Father's house where there is life. And then you can go from this place out into that deadly and deathly world and carry life with you because that's who you are. The people of God, filled with life, sharing life, speaking life, living life. For a dead world. You see, the divine service all today often gets short shrift. The divine service is too often by too many people thought of as our service to God. Oh, I just want to worship you, Jesus. I shouldn't say it sarcastically, but it happens. Oh, I just want to worship you, Jesus. That's not what is primarily important. It's not our service to God. It's God's service to us. He speaks His word. He delivers His sacraments. He serves us. That's what's most important. And we receive the things of the Father here. Life. This is where we live. Not the phone, not the football, not the food, not the friends. Whatever else we might construct, this is where we live. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I take you there." So I wonder if you couldn't do a little experiment this week, or maybe a couple of weeks, just as a way of impressing this specific Word of God on your own life. Every time you drive by this place, this church, assuming this is your home congregation, every time you drive by this building, be a little kid once more. Smash your finger against the window and say, "That's my house. That's where I live." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.